Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Yvette.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Kingdom Empowerment Radio Program, and this is Evangelist Tahima McLean talking about kingdom strategies, exposing and eliminating the enemy, amen, and we'll be going into topics of witchcraft operations in the church. Again, that is witchcraft operations in the church. I just want to begin to start off with prayer. We're going to open up in prayer. We know that prayer is important any time that we're going to elaborate on topics pertaining to witchcraft, that it's important to pray not only for God's enlightenment, but also that the people will be enlightened as well. So let us pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for yet another day, another opportunity that we have breath in our lungs. Oh, God, that you woke us up this morning in our right state of mind, that you have given us the ability to speak. God, that we are not in the hospital. Oh, God, we are not in the grave, but, Lord, you have showed your grace and your mercy that we will be here once again. And, Father God, as we are about to talk on the topic witchcraft operations within the church, God, I pray that your people will begin to be enlightened, that they would hear and know your word, that they will come to the greater knowledge of who you are. Father, I thank you for this time that you have divinely orchestrated. Lord, we give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Once again, this is Evangelist Tahima McLean, and I'll be speaking on the topic of witchcraft operations in the church. And but before I go into that, I just wanted to mention that we recently heard the news of a very renowned pastor that had passed away, Dr. Miles Monroe. And so I just wanted to just say that we give our sincere condolences to that his family, their friends, and all those who were connected to his ministry. We truly had lost a general in the kingdom. We know that he was a man of wealth. He was a very respectable man, and he has most certainly left a legacy on the earth. And we thank God for his life. He has impacted many. And so I pray that we all come together as a body of believers that would pray for his members of his congregation. And we know that the work of God doesn't only stop here, but it must go forth. It must go forth. We know that he's in a better place. And he has left valuable information to us of how to access the things of God, of how to get to this place. And our ultimate goal in life and aim is to make sure that we make it into the kingdom. That's what's most important. Well, today, as I mentioned, I'm talking about witchcraft operations in the church, and we started off a few weeks ago on this topic, and we have received many positive feedback from this particular topic. The positive feedback, we had people calling in with questions. Many were able to obtain invaluable information about the power of darkness and how it has infiltrated our homes and churches. And I want to say that in this perilous time that we're living in, it is imperative for us as a body of believers to be very prayerful and watchful. I'm going to say that again, that we have to be prayerful and watchful, because Satan knows that his time is short. Time is elapsing, and the kingdom of God is at hand. We must prepare the way of the Lord, and we must be positioned for his coming. And not only that, but we see that tomorrow is not promised to anyone. So we want to make sure that we are securing our salvation in the Lord, and that we are in good standing to make it into heaven. Praise God. And as I mentioned, that it is time for the body of Christ to really to awaken from their spiritual slumber and position ourselves so that we can see him again. Praise God. And we know that because we're in such a detrimental time in ministry and things are evolving, and we see that there's wars and rumors of wars, there's pestilence, many things are going on in our world, not only within the churches, but in the world. So I just want to implore the body of Christ and those who are listening on the line today that the playtime is over, the entertainment is over. We cannot continue to feel relaxed about things and become very lackadaisical and complacent when it comes to the things of God. It is time, and we are in an hour where we have to gird up ourselves. We have to put on the armor of God and fight, because Satan has been advancing his kingdom. And it is time, as I mentioned, to come together as a unified force to destroy and to expose the power of darkness. Well, the purpose of this Blog Talk Radio today is to do just that. And we're going to expose some of Satan's strategy that he has used against us. And we're going to focus on witchcraft. But before I begin, I also want to elaborate and expound on this topic. We had mentioned a few things the last time that we were on here about the spirit of Jezebel. So I just want to reiterate for those who were not able to tune in that time. We spoke about the characteristics of a Jezebel spirit and Jezebel's eunuchs. We also elaborated on charismatic witchcraft, which I'll be going in a little bit deeper today. We talked about its three different forms that it comes in, and that was manipulation, domination, and intimidation. These are the types of witchcraft, the three forms of witchcraft that it comes in. That's, again, manipulation, domination, and intimidation. And we said that intimidation operates by fear. That is to scare you into doing things their way and according to their desires and selfish gain. We also mentioned that domination says that if you don't do what I say, then I'll force you. And the last point was manipulation. They function through schemes, trickery, and craftiness to fulfill their goals and agenda. So those were the three different forms that you'll see witchcraft come in. And anytime you see any one of the three or all three, you will know that there is a clear indication that there is witchcraft operation going on. And so I just want to recant, as I had mentioned before, that this is a brief description of witchcraft. For those who are listening on the line today that don't know what is the meaning of witchcraft, or those who want to know a deeper understanding. As I mentioned before, that there are so many that have this misconstrued idea and ideology of witchcraft, And what it is, people think that it's just a witch on a broom or something that happens during Halloween, or it perhaps is a person that has a voodoo doll that's sticking pins and wishing bad things for people, even though that's a part of it, but that's not that in its holistic meaning. And so witchcraft is the practice of magic. It is black magic. It is white magic. It's sorcery and the evil use of supernatural power sourced from the satanic kingdom. Witches and warlocks are not the only one who practice dark arts and the craft, so I want to make that plain. That is not only witches and warlocks. It is sometimes knownly and unknowingly practiced by Christians too. And I know that it's very hard to believe that this is practiced by Christians, but it is true. This is called charismatic witchcraft. And this is for those who are at a position of power. You would tend to see that with pastors or leaders who try to control the flock by illegitimate use of authority. Not only pastors, but you can see that in the secular environment, where your workplace, in the workforce, you see that bosses are trying to control their employees. Even in the government, there are political figures that are controlling the people. And what they do is that these leaders, they impose their will on others. And if you're in a church, particularly the flock, it's to force them or to coerce them to doing something beyond their will, whether it be blatant force or by manipulation. What these leaders are, as I mentioned, that they are dictators and they are practicing witchcraft because they often try to get you to do things that are appeasing for themselves. These leaders sometimes try to take on the role of the Holy Spirit, thus controlling and monitoring every aspect of our life. So here it is evidential that we see that witchcraft is not only the practice of magic, as I mentioned before, but it's the control that's imposed on an individual or a group of individuals. Witchcraft is also considered to be rebellion. And I want to focus on these two points today, which is control and rebellion. And when we look at rebellion, we know that wherever there is willful rebellion, there is sin that's present. Because where there's rebellion, there is sin. Rebellion is sin. And when we rebel against the Lord and His word, what happens is that we remove God's protection, and then there is a breach in the hedge. Here's a scripture reference for you. According to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8, again, that's Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 8, it says that he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall surely bite him. In that particular passage and scripture, it brings in an illumination that rebellion and sin opens up demonic doors into our life. It also cuts the person off from God. They will no longer be in the grace of God unless there is true repentance. That is the only time they'll be able to come back into that grace, come back into the will of God, when there is true repentance, when there is humility. But any time there's a person rebelling against God, we allow the enemy, Satan, the serpent, to have legal right and dominion into our lives. We give him jurisdictional authority to do whatever he pleases, because that hedge of protection that God has on us, over our lives, is now breached. And we cause a hole in that breach, which also leads to satanic infiltration and demonic infestation. And I want to make this point very clear, that a person can be cut off from God and still be functional and operational. And that's very important to know. Because here we have it, that in the body of Christ today, that many people are going to church. We're doing it ritualistically. We're going there because it's the good and moral thing to do. But we are in rebellion. Sometimes our lifestyle is in rebellion and it's contrary to the will of God. We're walking in rebellion, but yet we're still in church and we're still doing the normal practices. We're still functional and operational. And that is when we need to be careful, because this is how the spirit of deception creeps in. You will have many today that are only operating off of gifts, but not the spirit of God. This is called the spirit of divination. Spirit of divination. It is not the spirit of God. It looks like God. It feels like God. The whole experience, it's like God, but it's not. It's called the spirit of divination. And when we look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 24, it tells us that, "For there shall arise false Christ and false prophet, and they will show you great signs and wonders." And here's the key point. It says, "Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." My God, that is very, very profound. It's a very profound scripture. Because you would say, well, how is that? We have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and it is supposed to be operating in church, but yet we're being deceived. Well, yes, there are many that are being deceived. Perhaps it's an institution or in a church, and we're being led by false prophets. People of God and those who are listening on the line, they are wolves in sheep clothing. You have many people going around calling themselves Christians, giving themselves accolades, credentials, but they are not of God. They are not a part of God's sheepfold. In fact, they have not lived a life of holiness. And it is essential that our spiritual eyes are open in this hour, that we're very discerning, so that we won't be deceived, because if we're not in tune with the frequency of heaven, we too can fall into rebellion and also fall into rebellion with these false prophets. It is imperative that our spiritual eyes are open. Saints of God, we cannot continue to just do church as a cliche. We can't just do it as formality. Going to church is not something we just do. We are the church, and we have to be the church. When we're coming together to gather, it is coming together to seek the Lord. And in seeking the Lord, you have to know God for yourself. It's important that you know God for yourself. Yes, we have leaders and pastors and people, a position in places to teach us. We know that this is biblical, because how can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear? And how can our faith be builded up, these leaders? But the leaders must be true leaders. We even see that in Ephesians chapter 4, God, the fivefold ministry, that God has given some apostles, some prophets, some pastors, teachers, and the list goes on. And we know that, yes, these leaders are given to us to give us instructions, to lead us into the right path and direction. But as I mentioned in retrospect, that we do have wolves in sheep clothing. People do, there are some that don't have the same kingdom agenda that we have. And unless you know God for yourself in this hour, you can be deceived. When I look at the scripture, when Jesus had asked his disciples, he turned around and said to them, "Who do men say that I am?" And they gave him much feedback. Some say that you are a prophet, some say that you are Elias, and there were different views and how people perceived him. And Jesus turned to Peter and he said to Peter, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter replied, he says, "You are the Son of God." That means that Peter was able to tap into that revelation, that mystery of who Jesus Christ is. He knew him for himself. We can't just continue to follow. We're following a system. We're following a way. We're following an organization, but not ever really getting a clear and concise understanding of who Christ is. We hear about him. We go to church and worship this person, this God that we know to be this Jesus Christ, but do we know him for ourselves? And unless we know him, we will be deceived in this hour. So we want to make sure that we are not walking in rebellion, that we're not walking outside the will of God. And I want to talk about one person today. I want to give you a biblical example of someone who was walking in rebellion to the Lord, and thus he started to walk in witchcraft. As I mentioned before, rebellion is witchcraft. If you are not walking according to the ways and will of God, if you're not heeding to the instructions of the Lord, we are walking in witchcraft and we are practicing witchcraft. This person is King Saul. We know that Saul was an appointed and anointed by God. He was also anointed by Samuel the prophet. And we know that he began to walk in witchcraft. Now, this is ironic, and I want to just stay on this point for a minute, because here we have King Saul. He was appointed by God. He was even anointed by the prophet. There was affirmation. There was confirmation. The people bore witness that, yes, this will be the next king over Israel. This will be the king to rule this nation, to lead the people into the will of God. He was appointed and anointed by God. We have people like that today in the body of Christ. God called them. They were sent by God, and they were even anointed. Anointed leaders. But then something happened. Something went wrong. The moment that Saul rebelled against God, he started to practice witchcraft. And that completely changed the whole nature of his lifestyle. He went from being an anointed leader by God into one who was practicing witchcraft. Now, this is very deep, because this can happen to anyone if we are not standing on the word of God and staying the course. And I will just begin to read that scripture for you so you can get a better understanding of what I'm trying to say. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 23, the Bible says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he had also rejected thee from being king." And Saul said unto Samuel, "I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now, therefore, I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord." And Samuel said unto Saul, "I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord had rejected thee from being king over Israel." And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, "The Lord had rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and had given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou." And when I read this particular passage, I was literally blown away. And I read this passage several times. And as I mentioned before, one can go from being an anointed individual, an anointed Christian, an anointed leader, to one who begins to walk in witchcraft. It said here that Saul did not heed the voice of God, but rather he had took heed to the voice of the people. Now, is there something in our lives, and I'm speaking to myself, and I'm not exempt, and those who are listening on the call, on the line today, is there something in our lives that is causing us to be in willful rebellion unto the Lord? Are we compromising the word of God for the sake of ourselves? Are we compromising the word of God as Saul did for the sake of people? Are we doing things other than what God has instructed us to do? Is there something that the Lord had told you to do, but yet you did a partial job? Is there something that God had mentioned to you to do, but you did it on your timing? Delayed obedience is disobedience. Are you heeding something other than how God has instructed you to do? I'm sure that one way or the other, we all have done this. But that is rebellion. That is sin. And as I mentioned before, that is what caused a hole to be broken into the hedge of protection that God has on our lives. And when that hedge is broken, we allow anything to come in. When that agreement and that breach and the obedience is broken between ourselves and the Lord, we cause ourselves to fall out of grace of God. We cause ourselves to no longer be connected to God. We even see that in the beginning with Adam and Eve. The Lord has specifically given Adam and Eve instructions. It is imperative that we follow instructions. We cannot do things how we feel that we think is right, or things that are pleasing to ourselves, things that are suitable for ourselves, things that we do according to our own intellect and our own knowledge. We cannot do things of that nature. We saw that was even originated with Adam and Eve. Satan has no new tricks. He can advance on his strategy, but we've seen this even in time past. When God had given Eve specific instructions, we know that Satan came to her and gave her diabolical suggestions. And he said to her, did God surely say that if you eat from this tree, I'm paraphrasing, that you will die? You will not surely die. And so we saw that he twisted the word. And even though she heard the word of God, and Adam and Eve, they heard the word of God, they heeded to another voice, which led them into rebellion, which brought sin into the world, that brought this curse into the world, that allowed them to no longer be connected to this God of the universe, this God of Israel that we serve today, this Jesus Christ. They lost connection to the things of God. The Spirit of God was now breached. And we see that's the same thing that happened with Saul. The moment he heeded the voice of the people, that was when sin was now established. Holiness and righteousness and doing the will of God was no longer the priority, and sin was now established. And because of that, the Lord had taken away the mantle from his life, had taken away his privilege of reigning and being king. And we see that's what's happening in our churches today. I want to break that down to you in modern vernacular, because you have that in churches today. Now, a Christian may say, well, I am not one that is consulting, I'm not one that's living in rebellion. But we do it one way or the other. And it's sad to see that even with Saul, and I want to go back into something, that when he rebelled, we see that he wasn't really practicing white magic or black magic, but by his rebellion, as I mentioned before, it separates you from God. The kingdom was taken away from him, and he was no longer being led. And tragically, out of desperation, the Bible declared that he went and sought the witch of Endor. Again, he went and sought the witch of Endor. He turned aside to divination. And when we look at that scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 10, it says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or he that useth, or one that useth divination, or an observer of time, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter, or familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." This is what happened to Saul. He was now in rebellion. The Holy Spirit no longer spoke to him. He was no longer being led by the Spirit of God. And he consulted this witch of Endor. And as I mentioned to you, I wanted to break it down to you in modern vernacular, because a Christian may say, "Well, I'm not consulting a witch. I go to church every Sunday. I'm a faithful believer." And yes, that may be true. But however, there may be many that go to church every Sunday. And truth be told, they may be innocent. But perhaps they are under a leadership that is in rebellion. And there is a strong Jezebelic influence over that ministry. But watch this. As long as you are in agreement with that spirit, chances are you can be in rebellion and could unknowingly be practicing witchcraft as well. I want to repeat that to make it plain, that if you are in a leadership body that is in rebellion, they are not walking according to the word of God, there's a strong Jezebelic influence over that ministry. And because you are a member of that church, because you are in agreement to what's being professed, chances are that you can also be in rebellion and unknowingly practicing witchcraft. Perhaps they are controlling, this leadership is controlling. The ministry is not founded upon biblical truth. They have a lot of rules and regulation in this church. There are different signs that you have to look for. Is this ministry very legalistic and self-righteous? Do they idolize this particular leader? Are they looking to this leader instead of looking to God? Are there a lot of issues within this church, such as division, cliques, discord, backbiting, gossip, slander? Do you see that there are people rebelling against leadership? Perhaps the leadership is not the issue. Perhaps the leadership is not the one that's practicing the witchcraft, but it's coming from the congregation members. Or do you see that their leaders abusing the sheep? Does this ministry refrain from promoting love and forgiveness? Are they being oppressed? Do you see signs, as I mentioned before, of intimidation, domination, and manipulation? Well, that may be a clear sign of a church that is practicing witchcraft. Those are things to look. So if you wanted to identify a church that you've seen, whether it be on TV or one that you visited or the one that you're in now, or you're looking at an individual, do they fit this description? Do they fit within this description that I had conveyed? So, in fact, you know, as I mentioned, that this may be a church that you say that this is not necessarily a church, but this is more like an occult. People of God, if it's the church, it will be the church of God. It will be that church that God has called, as we saw it in the book of Revelation, the church that is without spot or wrinkle, the church that he is calling to perfection. And what do I mean by perfection? I'm speaking about not walking in the ways of iniquity, a church that is mature. They are growing in the grace of God, that they are growing in righteousness. that they're walking according to the fruit of the Spirit. This is the church that God is looking for. If anything outside of that, this may be an occult that you're in. So what I wanted to share with everyone that is on the line is that not everyone who says that they're Christians, not everyone who are in church as leaders or believers, or those who prophesy and give signs that come to pass, that says that they are a prophet of God. It does not necessarily mean that they are called of God. The reason being is that there's prophets, there's divinists, there's psychics, there's spiritualists. They look very much alike, and they have the spiritual ability to reveal hidden things. They are able to foretell the future and manifest miracles. They can make themselves look like prophets of God, but they are not of God. They can make themselves look like one. They're a counterfeit spirit. You will even see that as prophets of God, they wear suits, they wear ties, they wear white collars, they preach in the pulpit. So can magicians, and those who practice witchcraft can transform themselves into a suit. They can wear a bishop collar. They know and they have the ability to switch. They're very skillful and tactical when it comes to switching. They can make change their ability of occultic language to a biblical language and preach and prophesy in Christian church services. So I pray that today that you are aware that Satan can come to you as an angel of light. He is a counterfeit. He's a counterfeit of God's manifestation and his power. Satan has agents that can also prophesy. They also perform miracles. And for that reason, it can be very difficult to differentiate what's a true prophet versus a sorcerer and a witch and a wizard, because they make very clear, accurate predictions concerning your life. As I mentioned, that they can transform themselves into agents of light to deceive churchgoers. And if you do not want to be deceived, if you don't want to fall and succumb to these satanic powers, to these strategies of the enemy, to these plots and ploys and schemes that he has launched against the body of Christ, it is imperative that you have a spirit of discernment. You need to know what is the word of God for yourself. As I mentioned before, you have to have a discerning spirit of visions and revelation of the Lord, and it's needed for you to identify these perpetrators. It's just like counterfeit money. You cannot tell the difference unless you have a skillful eye to be able to tell the difference. So though there are prophets, there are psychics and diviners, they perform very similarly before you. They will look like it, but if you look very closely, you're able to tell the difference. When there's a true prophet, you would know it because they walk according to the Holy Spirit, while diviners and fortune tellers and those who walk in familiar spirit, their power is not sourced from the Holy Spirit. Their power is sourced from demonic, satanic, spiritual entities. And just as a prophet of God approaches God through prayer by the help of the Holy Spirit, and they can know the mind, they can know things concerning the people by consulting and knowing the mind of God, witches and warlocks can do the same thing. Contrary to true prophets, sorcerers approach the powers of darkness through incantations. They can also summon familiar spirits And in most cases, they will use points of contact, points of references, things as crystal balls, monitoring devices, mirrors, tarot cards. We've even saw a Ouija board. They use candles and all sorts of things to manipulate the spiritual realm. They can access information from the mind of their master, which is Satan. They draw. They know how to summon satanic agents, demonic spirits, and to get clear and concise information, even concerning your life. And you would feel that, well, perhaps this is a prophet of God. But truth be told, this is not of God. I believe that there's a caller on the line that are listening. There's questions. So I want to open up the line before I move further on to a question that they have. Caller, if you're live, can you please state your question?
He said there's people on the line and they questions. She opened up and we can answer.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Caller, you're live. If you can just speak clearly for me so I can hear your question and answer accordingly.
Oh, you can hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, my name is Belinda McKenzie. I don't have a question. I just agree with what you're saying.
Yes.
The wisdom and knowledge that God's given you.
Amen,
that
amen.
That God's Christians today need to be able to see, have a spirit of discernment, and to hear God, to know what is real and what is not. And what is
Amen.
Of God, what is not of God.
Absolutely. And as I had mentioned before, that without this discernment, it is very easy for us to be deceived. And I am very happy to know that God has opened your spiritual eyes, because we saw this scripture in Matthew 24 that there will be many that will be deceived. It's going to deceive the very elect. And unless we are in tune with the Spirit of God, we will not be able to effectively differentiate. That would thus cause us to be led away with these false prophets.
Yes.
The Bible calls that the apostasy, that there will be a great falling away.
Right.
Because they will take heed and be seduced by these false doctrines. They will have itchy ears. They will be lured away into this seducing, charming, charismatic personality. And it will look just as if it's God, but the Spirit of God is not in that. We even saw that with Saul. So, yes, I'm glad that you had mentioned that that you are in agreement.
Yeah.
And that's what's important, that if we are in agreement as believers and we work together and pray together, we will be able to stand as a force against the kingdom of darkness to be able to expose what's happening in the satanic kingdom. So I really thank you so much for calling in. Is there anything else, or comments that you would like to express?
Yes. Christians are not understanding that. It does not matter who it is.
You need
to hear what spirit is speaking to you. You know, when Jesus was walking and Peter said, you know, when he asked, Lord, no, you don't have to do this, and Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan.
Yes.
He discerned the spirit that was talking to his disciple.
That's right.
Because his purpose was to come and die on that cross. That was the order that God gave him. So if he didn't do it, he would have been in rebellion.
Right.
He had to obey. And there's a lot of times that it could be a family member, it could be this person or that person. If God, and God works in an order, when you were saying about the Garden of Eden, he set an order. He told them not to.
That's right.
When they partake of it, it was rebellion. If God has told you not to go here, if God has set an order in your home, order inside your spirit,
if
a person comes, and it's a spirit, a seducing spirit, well, you can do this. No, I can't. God has told me I've got to walk a certain way. I've got to talk a certain way. Everything is in an order of a process. When people say they put their deaf ear up, and you said it's a when they start rejecting or becoming stubborn-headed, that is witchcraft.
Yes, it is.
And when you said the hedge, we have a hedge around us. And when we start walking in rebellion, we're out of the order of God.
Amen.
We have let that hedge open. If we're not hearing God, who are you thinking we're listening to?
That's correct.
And who have we invited in and we're out of the protection of God? You know, we're thinking that these are minor things. No, they're not. He said the little foxes, you know, they become
Amen.
Large things until full dominion of the devil, what, you know, Satan. You have allowed him to build a house.
Yes.
And God says he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He is not playing with us.
That's right.
You know, it's real.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. I'm sorry, I didn't get your name. Can you state your name for those also who are listening in?
My name is Belinda McKenzie, and I live in Alderson in Oklahoma.
Oklahoma, thank you so much for calling in. But I concur with what you're saying, and you made a very, very interesting, valid point. You mentioned it doesn't matter who it's coming from. If it's not coming from God, you have to be able to discern that. Now, I just want to stay on that for a minute because I, even by sharing with other individuals, I've heard people say before or even had other people share with me or even just talking through forums or even being on the radio, Black Talk Radio, that well, my pastor says that I should do X, Y, and Z. And these individuals never take the time out to say, well, Lord, what are you saying concerning this matter? If these pastors, as these pastors are sharing this word with me, does it line up with the scriptures? So that is a great way of measuring how do I know that, in fact, that my leaders or my spouse, or my friend, it doesn't have to be a pastor, but anybody else that I'm associated with is giving me advice, is giving me counsel, is giving me suggestions, is telling me something. Is it lining up with the word of God? Because, you see, this is interesting, because we have to realize our ear is a gateway. Our ear is a gateway, and whatever we hear, we now have seeds, that information, those revelations that we're receiving, they are now downloaded into our minds. And what happens when that word begins to become incubated in our minds, they now begin to spring forth. So those words are seeds. And when these seeds are planted into our minds because of what we hear, point of opening, point of reference, our opening, when we are hearing these counsels or advice or suggestions, when we hear that, we are now allowing our spiritual man to be open. We're opening our souls. We're like receivers. So we're opening the womb of our minds, if you will say that, that we're opening the wombs of our minds to receive. And whatever we receive is what we'll become. So I want to say that again, that whatever we receive is what we'll become. And we saw that with Adam and Eve. So, yes, it does not matter whether it's coming from your pastor. It can be your spouse. It can be your boss. It can be a friend, a relative. As you mentioned with Jesus' disciple, Peter, it can be anybody. But if that word is not lining up with the word of God, you should be able to say, I am not going to receive this, or yes, I will receive that. Ultimately, you are responsible for what you receive. So just to expound on what you were saying, I thank you for that made and expressed. It was very important. I thank you very much. Praise God. Well, I'm just going to go right back into the segment. And as I had mentioned before, just to pick up back where we left off, that contrary to true prophets, there are sorcerers, there are religious people who appear to be true prophets, but they're not. They can summon familiar spirits to get information. And you'll think that, hey, a prophet prophesied to me. They gave me an accurate word. They were able to give me information about myself, and this must be God, because they knew things about me that I didn't share with anyone. Well, there's a word for that. It's called telepathy. And what telepathy is a mind training and thought transference. It's a mind training and thought transference. As I mentioned, they have the ability to know what you're experiencing in your life. It's almost like, wow, you ever heard someone say, wow, you were just in my mind. That was just my mind. You're in my mind. Well, that's an example of telepathy. They're able to tell you things based on what's going on in your life. There's thought transference. They can tell you what mood you're in and what you're experiencing. These information that they're receiving is sourced from the satanic kingdom. It is not coming from God. There's also clairvoyance. Clairvoyance and telepathy is a perception. They are able to transfer thoughts, imagination, images, and alter your mood. They know how to manipulate these things. So not because you see that, don't think that this must be a true prophet or the true church of God. As I said, we have those who are in occultic practices that knows how to manipulate the spiritual realm. They may be able also to see things about you. There's foretelling. You say, well, I see in the future that you will have a child or you will have a ministry, and they will tell you things even pertaining to your ministry, your life, things that you want to hear because of your eagerness. You want to know what God is saying concerning your life. You know, you want direction. I mean, who doesn't want direction? But those who are in occultic practices and that are operating out of the spirit of divination, they are not seeing through the mind of the Holy Spirit. They're not getting downloads from the Holy Spirit. They're not getting information and seeing things by the Holy Spirit. They are seeing things through spirit guides. They are seeing things, again, through spirit guides. They have familiar or monitoring spirits. These spirits are spirits that monitor your life. They track you. They're monitoring you. They know what goes on in your life. And when this individual begins to summon these demonic spirits and they call on them, here you have it. They'll be able to tell you your name. They'll be able to reveal things about your life, secret things that others didn't know. They're able to tell you your license plate number or bank account. They are seeing through spirit guides. It's not necessarily through the Holy Spirit. So I wanted to make that very clear. This is also called the spirit of divination, as I had mentioned before. And also, you'll find that, let's just say these prophets or pastors or leaders are giving you a prophetic word, and they're so-called prophetic word. They're seeing through spirit guides, and they're able to tell you certain things, as I mentioned, the telepathy, and they're telling things to you. They also use what's called secret points of contact. They'll give you anointing oil, pieces of cloth, different little things. And what happened is that when you are open and exposed to these things, they give you a point of contact and referencing. They're able to manipulate your life through these points of contact. You are now initiated and been converted into the occultic practice, which then leads that person into rebellion. So, yes, there is witchcraft being operated in the church, because not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, and they prophesy. You see that in Matthew chapter 7. He says, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And let me read it so that you can be able to understand it better. It says in 15, it says, the real false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are wolves and will tear you apart. You can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. We're never to confuse grapevines with thorn bushes or figs and thistles, because there are different kinds of fruit trees that can quickly identify by examining their fruit. So you'll be able to identify them. You will say, okay, well, how do I not become deceived? You can identify them by their fruit. The Bible says it's by their fruit you shall know them. Examine or measure a man because of the ability of his gifting. Don't look at the charismatic personalities or the ability to speak with eloquence of speech. And we even see this with the Church of Corinth. They were so caught up with the eloquence of speech and who can convey the message better and how well-versed they sound and how they have all these titles and accolades behind their names and how long they've been in ministry for or how much they travel the world. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Do they have the fruit of the Spirit? Do you see love? Do you see Christ-like attributes and characteristics? Do you see the light of God shining in them? Are they the salt of the earth? And if you don't see this, chances are that this person may be operating in rebellion. They may be operating in rebellion. So you want to be very aware of what's going on in the body of Christ. We cannot allow ourselves to continue to be deceived. And as the caller mentioned, that we have to have our spiritual eyes open. Another thing about a diviner, perhaps how you'll be able to differentiate it, is that a person who's operating in divination, they will always speak things of destruction, discouragement, defeat, confusion, and they will also speak in fear. They will lure you into fear. They will force you and coerce you. Do they speak to you in fear? I want to give you an example that, let's just say, if they're ministering to you, they say, okay, well, in order for you to receive this prophetic word, you have to give me $1,000. Then I will release the word of God pertaining to your life. Now, I want to be very clear with this, because there are some ministries that are actually in need of it. They're not trying to be deceptive. So I want to make that very clear. There are some people that are true leaders of God, but they're asking for the church, because we have responsibility to maintain the house of God. They may say, hey, look, I'm asking the members to gather together so that we can and try to work on advancing the kingdom. We can open up soup kitchens. We can do things for the community, but I would need the help and the assistance of the people. I'm not talking about those leaders or those types of churches. What I'm speaking is about people who use the gifts for selfish gain, people who use the gifts to profit themselves, use the gifting and manipulate the people to make them feel that it's one thing, but it's something else. That's what I'm speaking of. These are those who are heavily being influenced by divination. Do they ask you for money, and then they will release the word, or they'll cause you to feel fearful? that if you don't do as I say, then this will happen to you. Then you will not be blessed. See, the blessings of God should begin to flow in your life. You will be cursed. If you don't do this, you're not in good grace with the Lord. You're in rebellion. They will flip the story and say that you're in rebellion, but in actuality that they're in rebellion. So, again, please keep your spiritual eyes open pertaining to these things. We cannot allow ourselves to be partakers with these types of people. The Bible makes it very clear, very clear. God has not hidden things from us. He's given us this Bible, the Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. He's given these things for us so that we are without excuse. Not only do we have his word, but we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us so that we are not deceived by these seducing spirits, that we will not be deceived by Satan in the last time, that we will not be a great falling away in apostasy, that our hearts would not wax cold because we're looking toward man. We're looking and heeding the voice of people. We don't want to happen to us what happened with Saul, that he was once in good grace with God. He ran the race well, but he was hindered because of the voice of the people. He compromised the word of God. We don't want to compromise the word of God. We don't want to do things based on the voices of people, because that leaves us in rebellion. And if we are coming into agreement with these people, that also causes us to be in danger. When God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, he told Lot and his wife, the angels of the Lord came and they had to remove themselves from this place. So what am I saying to the callers on the line? Be ye separated. Come out from among them. Do not have an affiliation with people who are practicing iniquity. For what does darkness have to do with light? There's no way that you can mix the both. You can't mix the both. It's either one or the other. The Bible says that if the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. You ultimately have to make a decision. I will look to God and God only. I would heed to the voice of God and God only. That I would not be lured away because of people's voices. I would not be lured away because of people's positions and opinions. I would not allow this Babylonian system to oppress me and cause me to be drawn away. I would not allow Satan to attract me with worldliness and tempt me to fall from the grace of God. I would not allow greed or pride to cause me to be in rebellion. We have to learn these lessons from these biblical characters. That's why God allowed us to be privy to these information so that we will not easily succumb to these satanic practices. So as I mentioned to you, that we have to come out from among them, because if we don't, then chances are we will be judged along with these people. And not only are some of these churches today and leaders today that are practicing charismatic witchcraft, not only are they operating under deception, but whenever you see witchcraft in the church, you will see deception, and you will always find the spirit of Jezebel. And we had spoke a few weeks ago about the spirit of Jezebel, but I want to finish up today for the next 20 to 30 minutes on more of the characteristic traits of the spirit of Jezebel. And this spirit has been very prominent in the body of Christ, been very prevalent, and it's been destroying the people of God. It's been destroying lives. It's been destroying our churches. And so we want to be privy to how the spirit operates, how to identify, and how we can overcome. So when we look at Revelation chapter 2, the Bible says, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou had suffered that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a sick bed, and them, watch this, and them that commit adultery with her. That's what I meant about being a partaker. Those that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, and except they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, it is simply said here, cannot, and I'll say this very boldly, without compromise, we cannot tolerate or compromise with the Jezebel spirit whatsoever. Remember, this spirit is not gender-oriented, so it can operate in male or female. But we cannot tolerate it. We cannot compromise with it. We cannot sweep it under the rug. We cannot beat around the bush. This spirit that is attacking the churches has to be confronted, just like the spirit of Jehu. We had to have his spirit where he confronted this spirit. You cannot make peace. Jezebel does not want peace. This spirit is very unrepentant. It does not want peace. No matter how much you talk about forgiveness, no matter how much you talk about love, no matter how much you talk about the ministry of reconciliation and unity, this spirit does not promote peace. It doesn't want it. And you would know when a ministry is being influenced by this spirit, because you would find, as I mentioned before, discord, backbiting, jealousy, there will be no peace. There will be unresolved issue. You'll find that maybe even your leaders those who are sincerely praying are trying to look for resolutions. How can I fix these issues? But they cannot be resolved. This is a clear indication that a spirit of Jezebel, a witchcraft spirit, has infiltrated the church. Homosexuality, all these different sorts of sin. And we have to confront it head on. Because if we don't and we compromise with it, what will happen is that this spirit will begin to get stronger and stronger. It will become a strong man. And you will find that we cannot break free from what's happening. There will be division, church splits, people will fall away. Churches closed down. Lives are destroyed. That's because there is witchcraft operation going on in the church. We cannot tolerate it under any circumstances at all. So I'm going to take the first 5 points, and I'm going to open up the lines again for if there's any callers. Point number one, how to identify a Jezebel spirit, whether it's operating in a leader, a boss, a spouse, or even yourself. We have to examine ourselves as well. Number one, does we refuse to admit guilt or wrong? When yourself or someone is guilty or wrong, does it ever admit? A Jezebel spirit is never wrong. Unless if there's a temporary admittance, they will not do it out of sincere heart, because there is no sense of accountability. They won't have a sense of accountability. To accept responsibility and accountability would violate the core of insecurity and pride from which is operating within them. A Jezebel spirit does not apologize. It does not say it's sorry for wronging someone. Maybe there was someone in your home, a spouse, They don't forgive. They won't forgive you. They won't say that they're wrong. They hold on to grudges. There's bitterness. There's never an acknowledgement of wrongdoing. They won't say that, I'm sorry, I hurt your feelings, but let's come together in love and in unity. So they will refuse to admit guilt and wrong. The second thing that you'll see a Jezebel spirit does is that it takes credit for everything. They are quick to take credit for something that has been done by someone else. They have not made any contribution towards anything. They don't want to be contributing towards anything. They don't want to be involved. They don't want to put in any effort. But yet, they will take for someone else's work that they have done so that they can look credible, so that it can put them in positions of power. Remember, the Jezebel spirit, they like positions of power. They like to feel as though they have a sense of belonging. When we look at Jezebel and Ahab, the Jezebel spirit was able to source the power from Ahab. Ahab was the one with the position, but Jezebel was the one who took her sense of power from him. That's how she was able to get it. It was because they had formed an unholy alliance. And I want to make this very plain, that wherever you see the spirit of Jezebel, you also find the spirit of Ahab. So that's another point. Point number three, it uses people to accomplish its agenda. The spirit of Jezebel lets others do its dirty work. The Jezebel spirit will get other people's emotions stirred up, and then it lets the person go into rage. And the Jezebel sits back looking innocent, as if they were no partakers of what they had stirred up initially. And because of that, this behavior makes it very difficult for people to pin down. As I had mentioned in a few weeks ago, that you are not able to pin it down because they will look innocent. They would be very charismatic. They would say all the nice things. They have a certain charisma and a personality to them that you'll fall in love with them so easily. But behind the scenes and behind closed doors, they're not who they say they are. Remember, the Jezebel spirit wears a mask. It's a very deceptive spirit. It appears to be one thing, but technically it's something else. And it stirs other people up. It promotes division by stirring up other people's emotions, perhaps through its gossip or secrecy. And it will say things to other individuals. And when those individuals' emotions begin to get stirred, they will make it seem as though they had no dealings with it. So it uses other people to accomplish agenda. Remember, we also have aggressive Jezebels and passive Jezebels. Passive Jezebels are not so much blatant and out in the open, in the forefront. They're a little bit more passive when it comes to their approach. But technically, this is all an evil spirit. They want to destroy. They come as agents of Satan that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Number four. A classic characteristic of the spirit of Jezebel is that they withhold information. This is a form of control. A Jezebel likes to know that they have power over you. So they will tend to hold information as a weapon of control. They would even share things with you in parts. And say, well, I know what you've done. I know certain things about you, but it's a form to blackmail you. It's a form of manipulation and witchcraft to coerce you into submission. It's to make them feel empowered that I have something over you. And if you do not yield, if you do not submit, this can be used against you to destroy your ministry, to destroy your marriage, to destroy your life. I will say it again. Wherever you are impacted or being influenced by the Jezebel spirit, run for your life. Do not yield to any other spirit but the spirit of God. It doesn't matter who it is. It can be a spouse. It can be a leader. Ask the Holy Spirit of how to give you wisdom, knowledge, and understanding of how to address these situations. Because unless you do that, you would be very easily seduced and you would succumb to this witchcraft. And sometimes you become so ensnared that you can't even break free. And because it lures you in and pulls you into this web, when you're so deeply entrenched and rooted into this witchcraft, you look back, and here you are. I'm speaking to the pastors that are online. You lose your ministry. The spirit can cause divorces, separation, healthy relationships between the leaders and their members, between their spouses, just between other people. It comes to bring division. Now, what should you do when the spirit is operating in someone that's very close to you? Perhaps it's not that easy to remove yourself because of this connection that you would have with any particular individual. You have a very close connection to that person. Again, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to break free from satanic and Jezebelic control. It doesn't matter who it's coming from. One thing I like about the scripture, that then it was speaking about Abraham and Lot. Now, I'm not saying that Lot has a Jezebel spirit, so let me make that very clear. But Abraham understood that Lot had could not technically be associated with him. And it mentioned that he says, "You go to the east, I go to the west. Let there be no strife between your herdsmen and my herdsmen." And what they did, they separated. Not that they didn't love one another, but they had to go their separate ways because there was different kingdom agenda. We even see this throughout the scriptures, and I'll mention again that Lot and his wife, when they were exiting from Sodom and Gomorrah, Lot went forward. His wife looked back. Lot didn't stop to go back for his wife. Lot didn't go back for the people. As much as God probably loved those people, he didn't love their sin, but they were destroyed in their sin because they chose not to change. So you cannot put yourself in a situation because people are refusing to change. Don't put yourself in a predicament because, yes, I'm connected with these people, but if I leave them, it'll seem like I'm a bad person. No, you cannot cause yourself to be put in a predicament where they can drag you down and now cause God to judge you. Point number five, the Jezebel spirit talks in confusion. It is impossible to converse with the Jezebel spirit in logic. They will speak things to confuse you. You will never understand what's really going on. You know, you won't have a clear concept of what's going on around your surroundings. So they speak in confusion. The Jezebel spirit, it lies. They will lie very convincingly. And no one can lie better than they can. And what they do is that when they lie on the victims. And then they make themselves seem like they're the ones that are being victimized and that they're helpless. But truth be told, the victims are the ones that look like the ones that are causing the issues, whether it be in the church or any other place. Another point before I go back to the line is that do this Jezebel spirit, are you being ignored? Do you have a sense of isolation? That's a classic ploy of a controller. It's to ignore you when you disagree with him or her. This tactic is frequently used by leaders, and when someone does not agree with their plan, they isolate the person by ignoring them. In some of these situations, they have been ignored for months just because a person doesn't come into agreement with them. And it's healthy to have disagreements. But because they are such control freaks that they will ignore a person, they'll feel like that you're in rebellion. And maybe this person is not aware or privy that they are being influenced by a Jezebel spirit. But you have to look for that, look at the characteristics, and this is how you'll be able to know. And they will continue to ignore you. And unless they'll wait for you to come around to them, and if you do not come around to them, you will continue to be ignored and continue to be an outcast to that person. I want to open up the lines if there's any other questions at the moment. I have a whole lot of other points here, but obviously I won't be able to finish most of the points today. So if there's any other callers on the line. Praise the Lord. Caller, please state your name and what city you're calling from. Praise the Lord. Can you please state your name and the city you're calling from? If you have any questions or any comments, suggestions, anything that you would like to state. Okay, well, I believe there's no questions or comments. So I'll just go back to making perhaps two more pointers, and we'll close out for today, and we'll continue and resume the next 2 weeks. Now, as I mentioned, that the Jezebel spirit is one to use information. They not only withhold information, but they can also use information, and they use it as a leverage for power, to say that they have power over you. Another thing that they do is that they're very pushy and domineering. A person with a Jezebel spirit will pressure you to do things that is beyond your will. They will have you to make make decisions for you instead of you making decisions for yourself. Another thing that the Jezebel does is that it sows seeds of discord. A Jezebel spirit will continue to belittle another person. They will cause division, strife, and they would cause seeds of discord to, as a strategy, to separate you from healthy relationships so that you cannot advance forward. And the last point for today is that, the last two points for today is that they also are very vengeful, because the spirit of Jezebel is never wrong. They always look to retaliate. If you do not submit to them, they will retaliate. They are ones to fire back at you if they felt that they've been wronged. Because remember, this spirit is very prideful. They're very insecure, very jealous. So they will do whatever it is to get power and to be very vengeful. We even saw that when Ahab wanted Naboth's vineyard. You know, she manipulated her way into getting this man killed for the vineyard. It's a very vengeful spirit. And unless you keep your eyes open, you can become victimized by this spirit. Another thing that the Jezebel spirit does is that it's very very deceptive. It can hide itself very, very well. They will seem normal for a period. You would know everything about them. They will seem very normal. Everything will seem fine. They are exhibiting characteristics and traits as though that they're of God. They'll preach and profess they're of God. They're very sweet in the beginning. But once that Jezebel spirit is exposed, And once that Jezebel spirit has been slighted, once you are not in agreement with that Jezebel spirit, or once you recognize the Jezebel spirit, it'll attack you. But nevertheless, it knows how to hide itself very well. It knows how to hide itself very, very well. It'll seem like it's one way today, but down the line, they're not really who they say they are. And unless this person comes into the fullness of repentance, and they will not be able to be able to turn. This spirit will destroy them. They will destroy those that are associated with them, who comes in agreement with them, those who are in rebellion, manipulation, intimidation, all the points that I mentioned. Those who are deceived by this spirit due to blind loyalty can also become judged with these spirits. So in closing, there are solutions to overcoming this Jezebel spirit. The Bible even says that Jesus himself gave Jezebel a chance to repent. So if you find that this spirit of Jezebel is operating through you, if you find that maybe you're a leader, a pastor that's listed on the line, or you're a very prominent leader in the church, or you're a boss, or anything that's at a position of power or authority, or a child of God, and you find that you've been operating under the spirit of Jezebel, ask God to search you. Ask the Holy Spirit to search you and turn. The Bible says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. That's all that God is asking of you to do, is to turn from your wicked ways, turn from our iniquity, turn from our sin. Begin fasting and prayer, worshiping God, reading the Word, living a life of holiness and righteousness. Go and seek deliverance from a true leader of God. Get deliverance if you feel that this spirit has infiltrated you. Maybe it's operating in a spouse and you don't know what to do. Deliverance is available to you. Maybe it's a church. Pastors, go seek help. If this is an issue for what you should do, there is help. If you repent and turn, God can deliver you. So, well, in closing, I thank every caller that has listened on the line today. Again, this is Evangelist Dehema McLean. We were talking about the exposing the powers of darkness and witchcraft that is happening in the church. My name is Dehema McLean. You can find me on Facebook. If you want to like my page, please tell a friend about it. We'll be meeting here every first and third Mondays of the month. I will be back on November the 24th at 3 p.m. That's every first and third Mondays of the month. If you would like to contact me, please go on via Facebook to Dehema McLean to like my page. I'll spell my name for you. That's Dehema, D-I-H-I-M-A, last name McLean, M-C-L-E-A-N. Again, that's D-I-H-I-M-A, M-C-L-E-A-N, Dehema McLean. And if you're looking to contact me for any other speaking engagements or to become a motivational speaker at one of your events, or you need prayer, please, you can contact me at Dehema@gmail.com. Again, that's my first name, Dehema@gmail.com. Also, if you're going to seek to call me or to email me for information or prayer, please also let your leaders know, because God is a God of order and protocol. So you want to be able to that you're doing things in decency and in order. So meet us here every first and third Mondays, where we'll be talking about exposing the kingdom of darkness. We thank you once again for joining us on Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dehema McLean. Remember that Jesus loves you, and live in the expectancy of God. God bless you. May the Lord be with you. May the grace of God cover you and bring an enlightenment to you. In Jesus' name we pray. I see you once again. God bless you and be well.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.